Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we thank you for the love that you have shed abroad in our hearts. Father, we thank you for bringing us up out of the muck and miry clay. Father, we thank you for putting our feet on the rock this day. And Father, we ask, we know that your presence is already here. And we just give you full permission to do whatever you want to do. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. When Pastor Barbara called me and asked me to preach, I thought, uh-oh. So I said, okay, Lord. I said, what do you want me to preach? And what I heard was, get connected to Jesus. So tonight, I'm going to be talking about John chapter 5, the vine and the branches. Because we know that Jesus is the vine. And our life and our hope and our joy and our love comes in the vine. And when he prunes us, it hurts. And I've never said I don't want to go on. I just say, Lord, help me through this. And I said, but it sure does hurt. But I don't, there's no way, there's nothing in me that wants to quit. Because I know when the devil fights me, I'm on my way to victory. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. My spirit's not happy unless I'm in some kind of warfare. I was watching a TV program the other day with Supernatural. Yeah, Sid Roth. And he had this man on there, and he was talking about spiritual warfare. Well, that's my line of work. And he got to talking about how the enemy invades our bodies with sicknesses and diseases. And I was feeling kind of low at that time because I've been trying to get my sugar under control, trying to get my cholesterol under control, and it just, nothing seems to be working, right? So then I sit there and all of a sudden I felt this thing well up inside me and I said, hold it. And I took a charge of my body. I said, devil, this is my body. And you're invading my body. You have no right to be in my body because I belong to God. And I started binding up that diabetes and cholesterol and everything, arthritis, everything I could think of. And I felt my spirit rise up. I wasn't down no more. I mean, it just lifted me. And it was like, ever since then, you know, my sugar is getting a little bit under control if I watch what I eat. But tonight, we're going to find out about the true vine. Because Jesus is the true vine. And one thing I've seen in this revival and in the teachings that we've been having for the past years, there's a lot of stuff getting ready to come down. And God is preparing us. He's giving us anointing after anointing after anointing to stand in the troubled times. When that stuff hits, God has prepared us to where we can stand and go through. And we won't have fear and we won't lose our mind. Because the Bible says people's going to lose their minds because of the fear of what's going on around them. So as I was looking back today, I was looking at that and how every service, when we come up and get the anointing that God has put in this building, it's to carry us through in these end times. It's to strengthen us. You might not feel nothing right now, but I can pretty much guarantee you when this stuff happens, You're not going to run. You're going to stand firm and you're going to stand tall. Because the one inside of us has risen up in each and every one of us. And he's not going to let us fail because he said so. So tonight, we're going to be talking about the vine and the pruning. And the pruning hurts. And I mean, when you've been under a spirit of mind control, I've read that the spirit of mind control is like a squid, and it sits on the mind. And a squid's got, what, 8 to 10, 12 legs? And each one of those legs has got to be lifted individually. That's why it's taken me so long to get free. I've been here since 2005, and I've been getting deliverances, and God's been delivering me in my home. Anywhere I go, God's been delivering me. And that's why it's been taking so long, because each tentacle has got to be removed by itself. And the lies that the enemy has placed, I have to reverse each lie, one by one. And sometimes I don't even know what the lies are till God reveals it. But when I go back to the vine and I tell him, God, you know, I don't like this and I want this out, he'll prune it. He'll cut it out. And every time God has made me victorious, and every time he has placed people in my life that has lifted me up before him, that has prayed for me day and night, so I would not fail, so that I would not fall, so that I could keep putting one foot in front of the other. Because when the pruning starts, sometimes it's hard to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes it's just hard to get out of bed. But God, through his mercy and through his love, I tell you, I feel good tonight. And I thank God for that shout. Because victory comes in the shout. The other day I was sitting home, and I was sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden I started hearing this singing. This angel was singing. It was the most beautiful, I can't describe it. It was so beautiful. And it was like, when it stopped, I said, no, come back. Don't go, you know, because it was so beautiful. And I mean, all I could do was just sit there and raise my hands and just enjoy that angel singing. And then, you know, God, through his mercy, I tell you, God is good. He said that he's going to be visiting us, and he's going to be showering his love upon us. And I tell you, when you have an experience like that, you don't want it to stop. When God just comes on you, and then when he lifts, you say, come back. I ain't ready for you to go yet, you know? But I thank God tonight, so let's get into our message. And I thought it was pretty interesting. And it says, abiding in the vine. And it's John chapter 15. It says, John's gospel is full of rich nuggets of truth that teach us about our Father, about Jesus, about salvation, eternal life, and the Holy Spirit. This lesson helps us explore the dynamic relationship between a disciple and his Lord. Jesus teaches on the vine and the branches. Jesus' teaching on the vine and the branches isn't like most of the parables in the synoptic gospels, which are usually stories with one or more spiritual points. Here, as in Jesus' disclosure on the Good Shepherd, we see an extended metaphor. Jesus draws our attention to a fruitful vine and then provides two primary applications for us to learn from: pruning the branches and abiding in the vine. These 17 verses aren't long, but contain some of the most important and beloved passages in the Bible about the disciples' love relationship with Jesus. In verse 1, Jesus introduces the metaphor. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." The vine was one of the quintessential plants of Israel, representing national peace and prosperity. Every man under his vine and fig tree. Moreover, the vineyard is often used to identify Israel herself, referred to by the prophets as "my vineyard." The vineyard will flourish in that day, says the Lord. He said, "I, the Lord, will watch over it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so no one may harm it." And isn't that just like God? He watches over us. He waters us continually. He builds us up when we're torn down. He gives us way of escape when the enemy comes in like a flood. He guards it day and night. He sends his angels to where, you know, they protect us and they guide us. And he don't want nothing to harm us. So he's watching over us and guiding us and guarding us. Jesus himself carried on this identification of Israel as God's vineyard in his parable of the tenants. In Matthew 21, 33 and 34, and parable of the workers in the vineyard. So for Jesus to say, "I am the true vine," we see an announcement that as the Messiah, he now becomes the true Israel, the true locus for God's people. When you think about it, it's an astounding revelation. The national emphasized in the nation's true king, Jesus. If Jesus is a true vine, then his father is the vine dresser, the one who tenderly cares for the vine, cutting and pruning so that it produces the maximum amount of fruit possible. So how many of us, when we're going through the pruning stage, want to get it over quick? Like when it starts the next minute, you know, that's it. That's it, Lord. That's enough, you know. But in your heart, you're saying, "Lord, go deeper. Go deeper and get it every root, everything. Don't leave nothing, not even a piece of dirt behind." A grapevine consists of the woody trunk with one or more cordons. Woody extensions of the trunk that remain from year to year. Together, the trunk and cordons are what Jesus refers to as the vine. The fruitfulness comes from the canes, or the shoots, or spurs that grow from these woody cordons. These canes, shoots, or spurs, Jesus is calling the branches. The fruit forms from buds on the new canes. The old canes do not produce again. And isn't that the truth? Because the old things that die, they don't come back. They try, but they don't come back. There's no life in them. There's no structure to them. Pruning takes experience and skill. After the harvest, winter comes when the leaves fall off and the vine goes dormant. During this time, before the new buds of spring, the pruning takes place. Our text discusses two operations. Number one, removing unfruitful branches, and number two, pruning the fruitful ones. So when we look back and we see our fruit, you know, We have to prune it. We have to go deeper. We have to get more of God. We have to, you know, get with God. We have to tap in to that vine where the life is. The fruitful branches. Oh, the vine dresser looks for any shoots that didn't bear fruit the previous season due to disease or damage of one kind or another. Then he cuts off entirely so that the energy of the plant is not wasted on unfruitful or diseased branches, but can go into branches that do bear fruit. The fruitful branches are pruned back to the first two nods on the old shoot to form new canes for the next year's growth. Without pruning, the fruit for the new season will be dramatically diminished, and the vine will begin to grow wild. We've seen that happen. It will begin to grow wild, producing some grapes, but making it hard for the plant to get enough light and making it difficult to harvest what few grapes are produced. Pruning shocks the plant, to be sure, but in the hands of a skillful vine dresser, the vine remains healthy and produces maximum fruit year after year. Sometimes when the Lord reveals to us what's going on in our life or what needs to be brought out, it shocks us. Well, Lord, I didn't know that was even in there, you know? Or sometimes I thought I was over that, but it might be in another area, the same problem, but in a different way. So, you know, this pruning and this wine dresser, if we can get it down in their spirit, God's got a lead way to where he can just take us and do whatever he wants to do with us. What does cutting off every branch in me that bears no fruit refer to? Since Jesus, the true vine, represents true Israel, the Father is pruning off those who rebel against the Messiah. We see this expressed in the parable of the tenants who refused to pay rent to the owner of the vineyard. Jesus concludes the parable with the words, "Therefore, I tell you the truth, that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." That's Matthew 21:43. So what God's been saying in here is only his word. What he's been preaching is only his word. If you don't get it right, if you don't let the pruning take place, he's going to take what you got and give it to somebody else. I'm not losing nothing. I'm going to gain. If you don't want yours, that's fine. I'll pray God to give me yours. I'm not losing. God is good. He's been so good to me. After getting rid of the dead wood, the vine dresser gets down to the exacting work of pruning each shoot or branch. The purposes of pruning are to stimulate growth. It's to allow the vine dresser to shape the vine. It produces maximum yield without breaking the branches with too many clusters for them to bear. It protects against mildew. And we know mildew will kill you. It produces better quantity wine with more highly concentrated and flavorful grapes. And if you know somebody that's taking their pruning the way that they should take it, you don't mind being around them because they got joy. You know, Even sometimes you can't even tell some people when they go through something. They don't show. I'm getting there. Sometimes it shows a lot. But it's like, you know, God comes right back and, you know, gives you back your character and your joy and your love and your peace. We can't live without peace. I don't know about y'all, but I can't live without peace. Of course, the Father does the pruning in our lives so that you and I will become healthy and bear much spiritual fruit. Sometimes we suffer losses and grieve about them, but find that God is redirecting and healing us. We can trust the vine dresser and must be obedient. If we want his skill to make us whole and fruitful, we got to trust him. We got to let him do what he's got to do. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter how long it takes. Because sometimes it got to the point, oh my God, when's it going to end? But he told me when this thing first started, I had the hordes of hell and something other. It was a lot. Because I had to open myself up to the devil. I worked for him good. So now it's my turn to work for God. Good. Better than I worked with the devil. The things that my family, some of the things my family told me I did, I couldn't believe it. And some of the things that God showed me that I did, I couldn't believe it. Because I was so spiritual. You couldn't tell me I wasn't spiritual. Everybody else was wrong but me. So you know I had to fall hard. But I thank God for it. Because today he's bringing me up. I didn't lay down there. I didn't stay there. Might have been embarrassed for a day or two, but that was about it. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody change a person but God. We've tried, haven't you, Pastor Barbara? We tried to change people. But it don't work. So we have to let God be the vine dresser. We have to let him do the pruning. We have to let him cut off, because when he does it, it's right. And it's just at the right time. The last two prophecies I got from Brother Chris, boy, I tell you, I said, Lord, I thank you, because it was just what I needed. Brother Brett gave me a prophecy one night. I thought, God, are you sure? You know? Because of everything you go through and everything that you've been in, it's like, and God gives you a beautiful prophecy. You're like, somebody behind me that he's giving that to? You know what I mean? Because it's hard to believe that you've come up out of the mess that you was in because you was in it for so long. And God, through his mercy, has been pruning and cutting off and tearing down and threatening the devil that he better leave me alone. You know what I mean? Because God is protecting me. He said he'd never leave me and he'd never forsake me. And I remind him of that every day. I said, God, you said you'd never leave me and he'd never forsake me, no matter how bad I am. Because he made me. He didn't make me do what I did, but he loved me through it all. And sometimes you wonder, God, how could you love me through that stuff? How could you love me when I did what I did? And when he showed me this week some things, all I could do was just pray the Jabez prayer. God, I don't want to cause no more pain. You know? And it's like, take me and do what you got to do. I don't know how much more. I know I got stuff to go through until Jesus comes back. But I ain't going to quit. I can't quit. It's not in me. When the devil tells me to quit, I go that much harder. And sometimes I go too fast. But I tell you what, God, I had a problem with patience. And I mean, that was a big thing for me. And I'd give God a certain length of time to do something. And if he didn't do it, I'd take it into my hands and I'd do it. That's why I'm going through now what I'm going through. And then when God showed me what I was doing, you know, you feel bait like that, you know. But then, you know, God is helping me through it. He's showing me how to, you know. So now when impatience tried to kick in, I said, nope, nope, in God's timing. I ain't going to do what I used to do because he showed me what I used to do. And then it's like, you ain't getting me out there no more. Make a fool out of me again. I've been a fool too many times. So as God leads me through this impatience, I thought I was doing good. It's a long process down that road for impatience. Because you're thinking, oh, God, Lord, I done made the decision. I'm not going to do it no more. How long do I got to go through till I hit the end of that road of impatience? But I tell you what, he gives me joy. Every time it hits me, I say, nope, nope. It's in God's timing. And God's got the perfect timing. And then it'll go away. It'll leave. But then it's like more stuff will pile on. You know, it'll pile on. And I say, nope, nope. That would get out of my head because I ain't going to do what I used to do. I'm tired of being in the going around the Robin Hood barn. It's time to stop. It's time to give God the chance to prune and to help me get back connected to the vine for my life, for my strength, for my joy. Because there for a while, I didn't have no joy. I didn't have nothing. And even the people at work noticed it. And they said, Nancy, this is not even your character. And I said, Lord, what's these people talking about? Because I thought I was doing, you know, I thought I was doing good. But even they saw I wasn't right. But it was because of impatience. And that thing, I'll be so glad when I'm at the end of that tunnel and through that tunnel. Because when you get impatient, it's like, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the God having truth. God knows he's got to strap me. And I can feel the straps that he's got on me that I can't move. And that is so frustrating because there's so much that I want to do and can't do. And I'm serious. I can feel the straps that God's got on me. And God knows he's got to do it because I'd be out there in left field again, crying the blues, going around Robin Hood born again. But the pruning and the love that God shows us, it is unreal. And, you know, I thank God because every time I get in this pulpit, I get so much joy. I can, the anointing just, you know, it carries me through. And it's like, you know, so many times when I was under the influence of the mind control, all the lies that it tells you, you know. And when you realize that the hurt and the pain that you've caused other people, it makes you feel low. It makes you feel like, you know, you're ashamed to look at anybody because of what you've done, because of what, you know, how you portrayed Christ, which you didn't have. You know what I mean? But thank God because he's bringing me out. and I'm getting my joy back. And I sit in my house the other day, and I sit there and I thought about it. And that man, Bill Hammond, was on Sid Roth. And Sid Roth asked him, he said, "How do you do spiritual warfare?" And he looked at Sid Roth and he said, "Hallelujah!" Boy, them demons run out of my house that day. Because I got joy. Because when you holler, hallelujah, that's the highest praise. And when you holler, hallelujah, the angels come quickly. They don't wait. Well, I don't know if she means a day, Lord. We better wait and see if she, you know, what she going to do. No, they don't do that, thank God. But God and his mercy. We have to get connected to the true vine. God has been coming through here that we got to repent. I stay on my knees and repent because I don't want to lose out. I don't want to miss it. And I've been crying out to God, "God, please, the nights that I'm working, don't let your glory hit yet because I don't want to miss it." I'm not going to miss it. And I looked at my boss, I said, "What are you doing to me? I told you we got revival, and you make me close." He's a preacher too, so, you know, he understands. But it's like, you know, I'm not missing it. If I got to walk off my job and say, "Hey, bye," I'm not missing God. And I keep praying, "God, help me." And I know he's going to bring me through this impatience. And I know, Brother Brett, we got a work for God to do. And the closer we get to that vine, you think about that vine, the grapevine. It's got those juices running through the vine, you know, and then it's got the grapes. And it's like, you know, we want to be the good grapes. We don't want to be them sour ones. So we have to connect to that vine. We have to take everything that is not God. And we know what's in us that ain't like God. We ain't dumb. We just don't want to admit it. You know? Until God knocks you over the head with it. When he tells you, "Now you know, daughter, you know this is in you, and you know this, come on now, let's get it together." God and his mercy. Thank God he don't give up on us. I know that juice that's running through that vine, when it gets down in our veins and it gives us the nutrition from God that we need, we're going to spring up. Just like that, it's a spring up old well. Those branches, we ain't going to have no problem to get rid of them. We're going to say, "God, I don't want this no more." And I see, you know, it's good that you stay repentant. I repent, I know, 50 times a day because I don't want to miss out. It's in me. And it's like, I was saying, "Well, Lord, what?" Because we got a half hour for lunch, and I thought, well, after I eat my lunch, I can read the Word a little bit. And he told me, he says, "Well, there's 30 chapters in Proverbs, one for every day. You can start with Proverbs." I said, "Yeah, I can read a chapter of Proverbs every day." He'll tell you how to get through. He'll show you the plan for your life. And it's like sometimes when he's sitting there talking to me and I'm saying, "God, is that you?" You know, because of what he says. You know, it's hard sometimes to comprehend because it's like, well, you know it ain't you. You know it's got to be God. Because that's stuff you don't think of. But the Greek word Katharizario is to clean, to cleanse, can be translated prune, purge, cleanse the vine. Jesus' word is a cause of that mortal and spiritual cleansing. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. The effect of obedience and holding to Jesus' teaching is freedom from the slavery of sin and separation from evil. God's word, when received, has a washing, cleansing, pruning, and faith-producing effect on us. And that's the truth. God's word washes us and cleanses us. And that's why the devil puts you to sleep when you start reading the word. You ever have a hard time sleeping? Just pick up the word. He'll put you right to sleep. There's been sometimes I've had to grab my word and just get up and walk. Ah, devil, I ain't falling asleep. I'm going to read. And I tell you, God is good. He wakes me up too. But I tell you, I hope you got something out of the message tonight. But we have to get connected to that vine. And that vine is Jesus. Because of what's getting ready to come down the road, we're going to need all of Jesus that we can get, and then more. The Holy Spirit is here tonight, and the altar call is for the anointing to get more of the vine, to get a more hold on the vine, because we're going to need that vine. We're going to need the vine dresser. And we're going to need all of the Holy Spirit that we can get. So tonight, I had this prayer. It says, Father, we thank you for including us in your vine. Help us to accept your pruning with trust. Help us to rely on Jesus so that we bear his fruit and so glorify you. Thank you for the immense privilege of being Jesus' friends. In his holy name we pray. Amen. So if you want to come up and let God just come all over you, just let him do in you what he's got to do, to prune and to cut off the old